I'm Beth Perrell. Penny Cedar is my guest. Penny is the CEO of Habitat for Humanity Seminole Apopka.
So, I mean, I think since the last time we talked, we did become a HUD certified housing counseling agency. So we've employed she is both a housing counselor and a credit counselor. So we offer her services to the community at large. So anybody who has a credit issue or is thinking about buying a house can come and have a meeting with Lori, and she'll work with them on their credit and on any kind of housing kinds of issues that they're interested in. So we've really expanded our financial wellness offerings to the community. We've been expanding them for a while, but I'm really proud of where we've come in terms of being officially accredited with HUD, but also having her on staff, I think, adds another dimension of possibility for not just the folks that are in our home buying program, but those that want to be in the program. A lot of people don't qualify, so she helps to get them qualified.
Penny, is this a permanent relationship with HUD? And as far as you know, I mean, it's not something where, like, on a yearly basis you have to renew.
We're gonna have to have certain benchmarks that we follow, certain criteria, you know, because it's a federal designation. I mean, we'd have to do something pretty egregious, but they could take it away from us. But that's not going to happen. It's just that is a possibility. So there's certain standards and regulations that we have to follow to stay accredited.
And of course, the people that reach out to you to go through those programs can feel very comfortable that you have that accreditation.
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't come easily and it doesn't come quickly. So it's taking quite a bit of time to get accredited. Yeah.
But it does sound like, though, that it's going well.
It is. It's going great. It's really going great. And we, like I said, not only do we have this person on staff, but we've also been able to really expand the curriculum that we offer. So we've got a post-purchase education curriculum for people who have already bought a house and they find themselves in a little bit of trouble for whatever the reason is. It could be credit issues, it could be loss of a job or loss of a spouse or, you know, part of an income stream. It could be credit issues. It could be large, I don't know if I mentioned this, medical debt, you know, whatever the reason is, we want people to be able to stay in the house that they already have. So we've got post-purchase education classes as well. And then we've really, really expanded our, what we call our foundations classes. So I don't know if you remember from last time we talked, the foundations classes are the mandatory classes that our future home buyers have to take in order to qualify to buy a house.
Right.
We really expanded those with some very practical classes too. So it's not all about budget and finance and credit and understanding your mortgage. But we really want to approach that education from a whole person perspective and really include things like mental health, physical health, parenting classes, what kinds of things people need to be doing in terms of cancer screenings, and very practical things that are all part of kind of your everyday life. And getting people some wraparound services for those things so that when they're happy and successful in other aspects of their life, their house is just part of that. So we've really expanded those classes as well. So we've got a lot of offering, and we offer all these things to any member of the community. So they can participate and it doesn't cost them anything. So whether it's the Financial Academy, or again, working with our HUD certified housing counselor and credit counselor, or it's our foundations classes, or the post-purchase education, all of those things are at no cost to the participant because we've got wonderful sponsors.
And people can access all of that through habitat-sa.org?
They can access it by going to our website, which is actually Habitat Seminole Apopka, altogether one word, habitatseminoleapopka.org.
We'll remind people of that in a minute too, because that sounds great. But you do have, of course, ongoing that those efforts to help build houses for people. You and I were speaking about a year ago about the just the limited number of houses available, and then the extreme difficulty in getting housing. So, what movement have you seen? What progress have you seen, or what challenges remain?
Well, I'd say the challenges that are actually growing or mounting are availability of land, still very difficult to buy affordable land that we can build on. And there's, it looks, so, I think to the untrained, the person that's not an expert may look and say, well, I see a lot of land. And you might, but it may be that it's non-conforming, meaning it quite can't quite fit a house on it. It could be that it's wetlands and it doesn't look like wetlands. It could be in a flood zone and you don't know that. Again, it might look high and dry when you go look at it, but it might still be in a flood zone. We don't want to put our families in a risky situation like that. It could also be that it's very, very far away from utilities. And that bringing those utilities to the piece of property can make it cost prohibitive. So there's a lot of reasons why the land that's left is very expensive. So that is definitely a speed bump for us, finding land that is buildable and affordable in the Central Florida area can be tough. So that's a little bit of an obstacle. We have been very lucky, though. We've gotten some federal and state appropriations to put in some infrastructure. So again, infrastructure being, connecting to utilities, putting in roads, putting in retention ponds, and those kinds of things can be challenging. But if you get some appropriations, that definitely helps to underwrite the cost, and then you can turn land that Or we can turn land that was not buildable into something affordable for somebody because we've gotten a little bit of government funding to do that and help us along the way.
But building a road can't be cheap.
No,
So.
it is not cheap. So we built six houses on a street called Leadership Point in Sanford last year, and in that property, we cleared the land, we graded the land, we connected to all the utilities, we put in a very large retention pond, we put the road in, we put the street lights and the sidewalks in. So it was, the fire hydrant, all of those things were things we had to install. Well, we had help from Seminole County, so that made it affordable and got to house six families. And had we been a for-profit, builder, we wouldn't have been able to qualify for that nice grant, and therefore that we could never have made that work. So, because we're an affordable housing solution and we're nonprofit and we're pretty much the only ones in town, we have access to some of that funding.
To the county, of course, you are offering housing to the families and they need more housing there. So it's sort of a win-win situation, isn't it?
That's correct. Yep. It is definitely a win-win. Win for the county, a win for us. Yeah, win for the families for sure.
So tell us a little bit more about the process of getting a family into a home. You mentioned earlier they're going to go through these sort of training classes to help them understand finances and all of those kind of things. But there's more into it, isn't there, in terms of what they do once they apply and what your volunteers do.
So once a home a potential homeowner applies, it's much like applying for a regular mortgage, really, because you have to give us paycheck stubs and tax returns and bank statements and all those kind of fun financial things. And you also have to fall in a certain what we call area median income, which for us is between 60 and 80% of the area median income. And if you fall in that, then you can apply. And you ha also have to have a minimum credit score of 640. So as long as you meet those initial requirements, you can probably apply. We're going to look at things like debt to income ratios. also important. That's a reason why a lot of times people don't qualify, and then they go work with Lori on a budget and on their credit and bringing down some of their debt, and then they can reapply for the program. But it is very much like applying for a regular mortgage. And then once we determine that they qualify on it based on income, their debt is in a reasonable area, their credit is reasonable, and then they can get accepted into the Habitat home buying program. And so once they're in, then they've got a requirement of sweat equity. So the sweat equity is kind of like the way you and I have to come up with a 20% down cash down payment. It's a non-monetary down payment. So our families aren't going to be able to save that kind of money, but it does show a partnership. So they take the classes, they take the foundations classes, they have to take those. And then some of them opt into some of the other classes that are available because it gives them hours. And then they help to build their house and their neighbors' houses. If their kids are getting straight A's or perfect attendance or an approved nonprofit organization that is a charitable organization, some of their hours can count towards their family's sweat equity. So that willingness to partner is really, really important. So it's always based on those three criteria. Does the family have a housing need? Do they have the ability to pay a modest mortgage? And do they have the willingness to partner with Habitat? And if the answer is yes to all of those, then they can pick out a lot and where they want to live, and then we start building their house.
So how many people, though, really can't get through those requirements, and how do you guide them?
A lot can't get through those requirements. And so the way we guide them is to invite them to participate in our financial academy, to make an appointment with Lori, our HUD certified housing counselor and credit counselor for sure, and to work on the requirements that we have, and then encourage them to reapply, or even encourage them to buy a house in a different way. But we offer a lot of services, and I would say a good majority of people that apply for the program don't qualify at first. So a lot of our best home buyers don't qualify. They go through a process and then reapply and get accepted into the program.
So they might be putting a couple of years into this.
At some of them have, and some of them do. Yes. Yep. But it really shows a lot of grit, and a lot of commitment and dedication to the process.
Yeah. So what's the other side of the coin in terms of getting that house built? Is that a lot to do with the volunteers?
Really, it's a lot to do with donors.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the expense for land. Very expensive to buy land, and land being the biggest factor really in housing costs, and getting that built, and then just dealing with the municipalities, getting approvals for things. We've really gone from being an infill construction company to being a developer and really taking a raw piece of land and turning it into a neighborhood, a little subdivision. And that's a totally different skill set, and with costs that are higher and a lot more challenges. And you need a lot of cooperation from your local municipalities. You've got to have a real desire from the leadership to want to have affordable housing in the area. And so that can be a real challenge.
And what progress are you making with that in terms of, I know you must plan a year or two out on what you're going to try to achieve.
We have an amazing collaborative relationship with Seminole County and Orange County. Where it gets very tough is inside the city of Apopka and inside the city of Sanford, because then you're dealing with that local municipality within the county that can be a real challenge. And you're working with, government employees where oftentimes they're not staffed up enough. They don't have enough experts in certain fields where you need to get approval for a subdivision, for utilities, for building permits, for environmental reviews, and for and that kind of thing, and they're short-staffed, and so that can really, really, really slow down progress. And in slowing down progress, time is money, especially in construction, and so it can really drag the timeline out.
Is it different for different habitat chapters then, in terms of, what challenges they face and or how they can get things done?
The answer is yes and no. There are across the US network, across the United States, there are 1,100 separate and distinct habitat affiliates, and no two of us are alike. And each one of us has unique opportunities and unique challenges. And I would say that most habitats have similar challenges to what we're having. Depending on the size of the habitat affiliate and the area that they serve, certainly some municipalities are much easier to build in than others. When we build in Seminole County outside of city limits, it's easy breezy. You start to get into these small cities and it can be really challenging. And so it just kind of depends. So the answer is yes and no. We all have challenges for sure with getting stuff built, but each area has different challenges for different reasons. So,
Okay.
yeah.
Okay. You mentioned Orange County, of course, and there are different chapters, aren't there, that are kind of working in different parts of Orange County?
There are actually four habitat affiliates that work in Orange County.
Okay.
There is a small West Orange habitat affiliate. There is us, we're Seminole Apopka and the Apopka part of Orange County. There is a very small grassroots Winter Park Maitland habitat affiliate that's in Orange County. And then there is another habitat that has some of Orange and all of Osceola County, and they call themselves Greater Orlando Osceola. And
And do
I
you
think their
anyway
name,
coordinate with each other or no?
no. And I think the Greater Orlando Osceola kind of is a misnomer because they're really not Greater Orlando. They're Osceola and part of Orange.
Okay. And so you have your distinct territories and you're not really dealing with things in the same way?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more then about Habitat Seminole Apopka in terms of what you are doing currently. And it sounds like that indeed the classes, the HUD classes, are really a big piece of what you're doing day to day, right?
Yeah, they are. They're setting people up for long-term successful home ownership, which I think is important. When we talk about some of the donations that we get, whether it's from government or individuals or foundations and grantors, we want to protect the investment and make sure that our families are going to be successful homeowners and really break a cycle of poverty and change the trajectory of the families, right? So if we're going to do that, we've got to make sure that they're set up for success. So we're teaching these classes anyway, so why not open them up to the general public? So that's what we've done. So and I believe that when a community is more financially savvy and financially healthy, the entire community benefits anyway. So we've opened it up. And yeah, it is a very important thing. I think one of the things that distinguishes our habitat in Central Florida is we are the number one producer of homes in Central Florida. So nobody else is putting as many families under a roof for home ownership than Habitat Seminole Apopka. We've got folks that are pretty close second, but we definitely do more than anybody else.
Is
And
that
that's
because you're
really,
taking that developer approach?
yes, it's really what sets us aside. We're taking on a bigger bite and really trying to tackle the problem. We keep hearing, over and over and over again, that we're in a housing crisis. Well, what better way to solve the housing crisis than create more entry-level product and prepare our community for home ownership in those, in whether it's ha and there aren't a lot of for-profit companies building entry-level home ownership products these days, but getting people prepared for that is important.
Can you speak to maybe some examples of successes you've had with these classes and or with the building that kind of point up how things are going?
Yeah, I'll give you a really good example. I've used this before, but almost six, well, 15 years ago, was shortly after I'd started with Habitat. One of the first homeowners I got to serve was living in Section 8 housing. And she applied for the Habitat program. And this was before I got to Habitat. This affiliate didn't have any money to build any houses. So she still tried to apply for the program. She got turned away because her credit was bad. She went and she worked on her credit and she reapplied for the program at the time I started. And at that time, I was able to raise enough money to build some houses. And she qualified and had a 6-year-old daughter and was able to do her sweat equity. She took all of the classes that we had. And really, she talks about how taking those classes changed her life. So she was able to put together a budget and stick with that budget. She had to clean up her credit, and then she knew she didn't want to have her credit move backwards, so it never did. And she got into her home, got off of public assistance, no more food stamps, no more Section 8 housing. Now she had a very affordable, modest mortgage to pay every month. But what a couple of things that she learned was that it was very important to put together a will. And so she did. We had an attorney who put together her first will for free. She was doing that for all of our Habitat homeowners when they first came into the program. And she kept it up to date. And then the other thing she learned about in our classes was the importance of opting into short-term and long-term disability if your employer offered that. And she did. And 10 years or so after owning her house, and her daughter had graduated from high school. And in that time that her daughter was in high school, she was able to pay for tutoring and after-school activities, things that she wouldn't have had the money to do had she not had an affordable place to live and taken these classes, these financial wellness classes. But in any event, she her daughter had graduated from high school, and she found herself battling breast cancer, and so she was able to dip into short and long-term disability and still never miss a beat in terms of paying her mortgage. She stayed in the house until she passed away, and she updated her will while she was sick. She knew when she got diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, she needed to update her will. And now her daughter and her granddaughter live in her house. So her will, what she wanted with that asset, happened. And so she was able to pass down some generational wealth to her family. And she became one of our biggest advocates talking about to families in her in her area and or in her circle about the Habitat program, and just really recommended some wonderful home buyers to us over the years. So she was a really good example of, going off of public assistance, becoming self-reliant and self-sufficient, and really paying it forward, and really taking the lessons that we were teaching her to heart. So I was very proud of her, on so many levels. She became a very personal good friend of mine, and I miss her a lot. She's just amazing. We actually named an award after her to encourage other Habitat home owners to follow along in her footsteps. She was a true lover of habitat and really walked the walk and talked the talk. So she was wonderful.
Thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah.
Would you go ahead and remind people how they can tap into those classes and kind of follow that lesson?
So going to habitatseminoleapopka.org has everything you need to know about volunteering for Habitat, how to donate if you're so inclined, how to take classes, and how to qualify to become a home owner. So it's got everything on there that anybody would want to know about our affiliate and how to get involved in a lot of different ways. So yeah, it's a great resource. So habitatseminoleapopka.org.
And Penny, any final thoughts for us?
Just that providing affordable housing is something that requires lots of different members of the community. So like, it's wonderful that you've got me on your show to talk about it, and to spread that word. Whether somebody gets involved as a donor or as a volunteer, or they know somebody who could qualify for a home with us, all of that matters. And it really does take a community effort. So we've got churches, civic groups, corporations, government, and individuals that really get behind the work that we do. And it's very important that we can tap into all those different resources for for robust support, I think, to really bring people to home ownership and have that American dream. The community really has to come together on a lot of different, a lot of different levels. So I'm very appreciative to those that support us and always hope that we'll have more new, renewed support for the housing mission that we have here at Habitat.
Penny Cedar is CEO of Habitat for Humanity Seminole Apopka. I'm Beth Perrell.